Raffles by E.W. Hornung. A series of short stories dramatized for radio by David Buck. With Jeremy Clyde as Raffles and Michael Cochran as Bunny. The Rest Cure.
Afternoon, Hawkins.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Manders. Good afternoon.
I suppose there's no news of...
Of Mr. Raffles, sir? No, sir. No more news than there was this morning, or yesterday afternoon, or the day before
that. But dash it all, it's been 5 weeks. Where can he be, for heaven's sake?
Mr. Raffles is under no obligation to inform me of his whereabouts, sir. He comes and goes as he pleases, like most of my gentlemen.
Yes. Well, I'll try again tomorrow.
Very well, sir.
I retraced my path down the steps of the Albany as I had done for many days now. I was frankly worried. It was not like Raffles to up sticks and vanish without informing me of his whereabouts. At first I had assumed that he was off to play in one of those country house matches with which he wilfully preferred to wind up the season. Yet a diligent perusal of Field and the Sportsman failed to yield any such information. He had, quite simply, vanished off the face of the earth.
I say, look where you're going, my man.
Beg pardon, Gav. Here, Gav. You ain't got the price of a cup of coffee on you, have you?
Why is it you fellas always ask for the price of a cup of coffee? It's pretty obvious it's not coffee you're after.
Oh, Lord bless you, Gav. The price of a glass of gin would be even more acceptable.
Oh, very well.
Oh, why? Oh, thank you kindly, Gav. The gent you're looking for says this, that you're to meet him at dusk in Holland Walk.
Eh? Here, what did you say? Come back.
But the man was gone before I could detain him. The message was from Raffles, of course. How typical of him to remain silent after all these weeks, and then send this peremptory message by means of a gin-soaked vagrant. I had a good mind to teach him a lesson and not show up at all.
Excuse me, is this Holland Walk? I've got lost in this confounded fog, and... Oh, it's you.
Oh, Lord bless you, Gavin. You damn me proud this afternoon. I ain't one to let a gent wander these dark streets alone, so help me.
Look, you're getting no more money out of me. That message came from Mr. Raffles, didn't it? I demand to know his whereabouts.
You silly ass, Bunny. Don't tell old Kensington I'm here in residence.
Raffles? I mean, AJ.
Come along before you have the whole neighbourhood in on my secret. Now, follow me closely. That's a good fellow.
And he was off into the fog at a cracking pace, for all the world like any tatterdemalion denizen of the gin palace and the gutter. And I mused, not for the first time, of how great an actor he might have been, had he not opted instead for the twin pursuits of cricket and crime. He led the way through a maze of quiet residential streets, until he came to a tall house swathed in Virginia creeper and with closely shuttered windows, at the gate of which he paused for a moment, gesturing me to follow before making on up the path. I joined him at the door, which he proceeded to open with a latchkey.
Inside, quickly.
I could not understand his haste, but did as I was told, and stumbled into the unfamiliar hallway.
I'll get a light.
No, here's the switch.
No, Bunny, you idiot! Switch it off!
Sorry.
Well, let's hope no one saw that. This place is meant to be unoccupied.
Raffles, where have you led me now?
Into a home from home, dear old bunny mine. This is my residence, or has been for the past few weeks.
But why on earth should you want to come here?
As a sort of rest cure. Yes, that's what. I needed some time on my own to sort things out. For to be quite frank, a canny little soul from Scotland and the yard of that ilk has been breathing down my neck of late. I thought we both needed a rest.
Mackenzie.
Inspector, as you say, Mackenzie. Now, no more of him, I beg. But this place is a perfect retreat. And nary another soul knows I'm here, not even the owner.
What?
He's away in Switzerland, and his wife's looking after her sick mother in Aberdeen, you'll be pleased to know.
When are they due back?
I haven't an inkling, old sport.
But surely...
But no one but a fool's going to come back from Switzerland at this time of year, and she won't come back before he does.
Well,
anyway, the servants are bound to return first, and if they should happen to surprise me, I reckon I'm quite capable of dealing with them. Now, here, this will have to do as a light for the present, an opera hat, you see? Makes an excellent dark lantern. There. That's the ticket. Now, I'd better change at once, I think, into something a little less offensive to eye and nostril. I bought these duds from a genuine tramp, you know.
Yes, I can well believe it, Raffles. And I shan't be too sorry to see you peel off that vile beard, either.
There, I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed, Bunny. It's not the peeling kind. You're more in the nature of a permanent fixture, don't you know?
You mean to say you've grown it?
I make that claim, old fellow. Although, to be honest, it grew itself. I simply went without shaving for a week or so, part of my rest cure. One of the fringe benefits, so to speak. Well, why, don't you like it?
It's so thick.
Two owls and a hen, two larks and a wren, eh? Well, I've got the sort of face that could do with a bit of concealment.
Nonsense, A.J., you're the handsomest of men.
Well, besides, I'm of an age where a little dignity don't come amiss.
I've always believed dignity came from within, Raffles.
So did my beard, my dear old rabbit.
People are going to accuse you, you know, of trying to look like...
I know who you mean, Bunny. Don't mention the name, I beg. I count that last game against Gloucestershire a personal disaster to rank with the loss of the Rosenthal Diamonds.
Say what you like, he's a grand old boy, W.G.
Yes, I hope I'm still capable of playing first-class cricket at 46. And capable, too, of shinning up the odd drainpipe for my lady's pearls once in a while.
Raffles, you're incorrigible.
Come, I'll show you round the place. Bathroom's up here on your left. You have to be careful with the bathwater. Makes a devil of a racket going down the plug hole. I suggest you bail it out as I do, drop by drop. Don't want to rouse the hostile tribes.
Raffles, do you seriously imagine that I'm going to come and stay here too?
Oh, why not? Miserable having no one to talk to. Oh, I confess I enjoyed it at first and played Crusoe here with glee for a day or so, but the charm of it soon wore off. That's why I want you here, Bunny.
As your man Friday, I suppose.
One of the great characters of fiction, Bunny. His loyalty, as I remember, was second to none. Still, if you don't fancy the role...
Yes, but you have a reason for hiding away. I don't.
I thought you'd find it relaxing to be free of your creditors for a week or so. They're deuced bad company at the best of times. If you shut this door, we can switch the lights on here. Shutters are fairly solid. This is the master bedroom, as the agents say. The mistress bedroom is through there.
Over here. Yeah.
There's some fine suits of clothes here in the wardrobe. But sad to say, they'd sit on me like a giant's robes upon a dwarfish thief.
Then here his wife are of a kind. Have you seen the dresses in here?
I have. I've seen her portrait, too. She'd do well behind the wicket, would Mrs. Crutchley.
Is that her name?
Well, since she married Mr. Crutchley, it is. Our unwitting host is quite a character, it seems. I took the liberty of looking him up in his own Who's Who. He was a colonel of sappers and notched up a VC at Rourke's Drift. Concerns himself these days with the matter of fallen women. He's on a positive rash of committees devoted to their welfare.
Lord.
Recreations, cricket, and revolver shooting.
I'm not a man to tangle with.
No, indeed. He'd either recognise me or shoot me. Probably both.
Bunny, put out the lights.
Who the devil can it be, I wonder?
Colonel Crutchley?
He's hardly likely to knock at his own door. I hope no one's seen the light, so to speak. Deuced awkward if they have. With all these shutters up, there's only one way out of this place, and that's the front door. We're trapped. Damn it, I should have anticipated this. Look, you stay here. I'll try and peer through the shutters at the front.
Why do I let him do this to me? Why do I allow him to get me into these impossible situations? I'm still a young man. I should be doing a proper job like other young men. I'm not cut out for a life of...
Bunny, all's well. Only the postman.
What, at this hour?
Oh, you forget, my dear Bunny. This is Kensington. It's another world, old fellow. I must open up one of these shutters here at the back. We mustn't be caught like this again. Well... You quite recovered?
I must confess, A.J., I could do with a drink.
Yeah, me too, old sport. But the Colonel's not a one for the grain. In the matters of the grape, however, he's something of a connoisseur. He has a small but admirable cellar, which I've often made use of on my island. A Mum 84 will serve the turn, I think. Well... Does the prospect of a week or so in these surroundings seem more congenial to you now, my dear Bunny? Look at all these books. You can catch up on all the latest novels. Now, either the Colonel, or more likely his good, if generously endowed, lady wife, seems to have an insatiable appetite for fiction. There's Tess of the D'Urbervilles, The Light That Failed, All improving texts, I'm sure. Zeeton's was stuffed by that rotter Wilde.
I'm not sure, Raffles. It's very tempting, I must admit.
Excellent. Although I believe it's the mum that's changed your mind, not the prospect of a literary fortune.
I haven't said yes yet, Raffles.
But it was, of course, inevitable that I should do so at last. Raffles always had his way in the end.
Well, I'd better go and collect my things.
Well, what things?
Well, you know, razor, change of clothes.
Oh, nonsense! The Colonel is all that you need. There's a shaving kit in the bathroom and a selection of dressing gowns and the like. There's no need to dress up here, you know. A capacious dressing gown will enhance the monastic nature of our retreat.
But it
has... And not another word. There's a good fella.
And so I stayed. The days passed in untroubled calm, and we settled into a way of life, cut off as we were from the world, which was pleasingly ordered and domestic.
Ah, there you are at last, Bunny. I thought the smell of bacon would get you up. Let's hope the savour of it doesn't get through to the outside world.
Oh, is that coffee on the stove?
It is, my long-eared friend. Help yourself. What on earth is that you're wearing?
Huh? Oh, this. Oh, it's one of Mrs. Crutchley's wraps. I was bored with tripping over the hem of the Colonel's bathrobe.
Hmm. It suits you. Here.
Oh, well, that looks good. Thank you, Raffles. So, how are you this morning, AJ? I must own that those bottles of Romani Conti last night gave me quite a thick head.
You drink in too much haste, Bunny. As if you're in a race to empty the bottle. Drinking is an art, like any other, and superior to most. For my own part, I feel relaxed and invigorated. I do believe my beard has taken a turn for the better. It's acquiring a shape of its own, don't you think?
I can't say I've noticed.
Less of a disguise than I'd hoped, of course, but that can't be helped.
A disguise?
Yes.
But why on earth should you need a disguise?
Well, you know perfectly well, Bunny. I always work in disguise when I can.
Work?
A little job I have in mind, old chap. Nothing that need concern you.
Oh, Raffles. I thought this was supposed to be a rest cure.
Well, I've never denied the value of Providence in matters relating to my unnoised profession. And there's a house, I've noticed, on my nocturnal rambles that's simply begging to be broken open.
Where?
As it happens, just across the way.
Oh, no.
The master and mistress are creatures of habit, which, as you know, is a godsend to the likes of me.
Uh-huh.
Every Thursday, they go to a play or to the opera. The servants, therefore, make Thursday night the occasion for drunken revelings below stairs. I shall be in and out in a trice.
But it's Thursday today, Raffles.
Exactly so.
Oh,
no, don't pull that awful face, Bunny. I must be true to my nature. This little retreat was simply a hiccup in my normal routine.
But don't worry.
This is strictly a one-man show, quickly in and quickly out while everyone is otherwise engaged. Couldn't be simpler, I assure you.
But isn't it all a bit hasty, eh? Can't you wait till next Thursday?
There may not be a next Thursday, old chap. Mine host, the Colonel, received a telegram this morning. Thought I'd better read it in case it was important. Seems the servants have been held up in a blizzard. That means two things. We can't rely on them arriving first.
And that the Colonel is due back any day now.
As you say. So, you see, there's no time to be lost. Tonight, as they say, is the night. And if you're a good fellow, you'll have some piping hot coffee waiting me on my return. And try to be wearing something a little more fetching.
Huh? Why, you...
It must be said that at this time there were few people who could put one over on Raffles. Whether at the crease or amid the bonhomie of his favourite club, I seldom saw him bested. If a bowler had a trick up his sleeve, Raffles had a couple of his own to counter it. I never heard a story told that Raffles could not cap if he was in the mood. This often, as you may imagine, led to no little irritability on my part, for I had long resigned myself to being a butt by nature. But on this occasion, I resolved to play a trick on him that even he could not anticipate.
Right. Lantern, mask, bag of tools. I'm ready. Off with the lights, Bunny. You know, I've often thought I should write a learned treatise on drain pipes after the fashion of that Baker Street chappie. This one's a beauty. It might have been made for the likes of me.
Good luck, Raffles.
Thank you, Bunny.
I half shut the window after him and drew the shutters too. I switched on the lights and made my way from the master bedroom to the smaller one which adjoined it. There I opened the capacious wardrobe and selected one of the dresses.
This one, I think.
It was a winter dress in velveteen, with big leg-of-mutton sleeves and a short silken cape over the shoulders, all in a most delicate shade of puce. I slipped it on and found it a reasonable fit, though a little tight in the waist. I considered stays, but decided that even for a determined joker like myself, there were boundaries of taste that should and must not be crossed.
No.
I then seated myself at the dressing table and busied myself with the powder and rouge which the Colonel's lady had thoughtfully provided. I was quite gratified at the image which eventually gazed back at me from the mirror. It was of a big, jolly girl, quite highly coloured, not quite a lady perhaps, but bright and personable. I gave her a fringe with the aid of a pair of tongs and hid the rest of my hair under a hairnet, topping the whole effect with a wide-brim feathered hat.
To wear the boa or not to wear the boa, that is the question. Yes, looks rather becoming. Oh, dear, Raffles will be back in a moment, and I haven't made the coffee.
I hastened at once to remedy my lapse of memory. Hurrying down the stairs in the unfamiliar garments, I slipped and fell down the second flight, striking my head on the newel post at the bottom and producing a whole galaxy of stars. I was dimly conscious of the front door being opened and a tall, bearded figure entering. Then the hall was suddenly ablaze with light, and I sat up in terror at the feet of a formidable-looking man with a great barrel chest and hands as big as hams. The master of the house had returned.
Who the devil are you? And what are you doing here?
I fell down the stairs, begging your pardon, sir.
I can see that. Answer my question. Who are you?
Amanda Noah.
Amanda Noah? What sort of name is that? Italian, I suppose.
Yes, yes, Italian.
Father Italian, was he?
Yes. Yes.
A lot of them are.
Yes.
Who sent you? Lady Raines, I suppose.
Yes, Lady Raines.
And who let you in here?
The
servants, I suppose.
Yes, that's right.
This catechism of the Colonel's would have been more difficult to survive had not the gentleman possessed the quirkish habit of supplying immediate answers to his own questions.
The servants let you in?
Yes, sir.
Where are they, then? Answer me that.
Don't tell me. No?
They're in the bunch of grapes.
Bunch of grapes?
I thought so. Well, they shouldn't have left you alone here. Most irresponsible. Well, my girl, what have you to tell me?
I tell you.
Lady Raines found you on the streets, I suppose.
On the streets?
I thought so. No need to be embarrassed, Miss Mandanoa. You could show me very little that would embarrass or surprise me.
Yes, I could. Very little. I mean,
So what did Lady Raines say?
Well, she,
She told you to come and see me personally?
That's right.
What did she tell you about me?
About you, Governor?
That I had devoted the last 10 years of my life to stamping this evil from the streets of London?
Yes, those were her ladyship's very words.
And she told you that I would be prepared to help you?
Yes.
Provided you were prepared to help us in your turn.
Eh?
By telling us the name of your creature.
Creature?
Creature.
I don't have one. We're not allowed them where I live.
What?
Not even a goldfish.
Don't chop logic with me, young woman. You're parasite, I mean.
Parasite?
Exactly.
It struck me that the Colonel's unwillingness to call a spade, must have been a great hindrance at the meetings of the various committees on which he served. It also struck me that a dangerous gleam had entered the Colonel's eye as he was speaking.
It's my belief we can strike at the roots of the problem by dealing with these parasites as they deserve. Horse whipping is too good for them, I say. But it will do for a start. I myself have been known on occasion to thrash such a man to within an inch of his life.
He continued in this vein for several long minutes, during which time I strained my ears for the sounds of Raffles' impending return. Once I thought I heard the light thud of a footstep, then a scuffling. Then all was silent once more.
With my leather thongs. Are you listening to me, girl?
Yes, of course, sir.
My only thought was to protect Raffles from this madman, who was obviously in a mood to inflict condign punishment on any man he suspected of being the agent of my shameful trade. The other alternative, that he should surprise Raffles and recognize him, was equally unthinkable. I resolved to play for time, and to elevate my voice to a level that would give my friend sufficient warning.
There's truth in what you say, Governor! I'll put this life behind me, I swears it!
Why are you shouting? Are you drunk? Gad! I'll lay odds you've been at Miss Cellar!
But before the Colonel had a chance to pursue this line of investigation or corroborate his dire forebodings, there came a heavy thud from the master bedroom.
What was that?
That's a... Well, I heard nothing.
Nonsense, girl! There's someone upstairs.
No, there ain't, sir.
Ah, why do you look so guilty? It's your creature, I'll be bound, come to get you back.
No, it ain't, sir.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Where's my revolver?
Revolver?
I'll deal with him. Never fear.
Oh, I've seen the like of. Oh, go straight. Help! Raffles!
What do you mean, Raffles?
Oh, well, that's who can help me, Gov. The Royal Association for Fallen Female Ladies.
Nonsense! There's no such thing.
And he charged up the stairs two at a time. There was nothing for me to do but lift my skirts and follow. I was at his elbow as he reached the bedroom door and flung it wide.
Great Scott!
Good Lord.
Another of them!
On the bed, head in hands, sat a middle-aged woman weeping softly to herself. She was dressed in tattered finery, and her tears made deep tracks down her heavily rouged cheeks.
What the deuce are you doing in my bedroom, madam?
Oh, forgive me, Governor, I've got too queer.
Drunk more, like. Why didn't you say there were two of you, Miss Mandanar?
I forgot.
Lady Raines sent her too, I suppose.
Yes, that's right, dearie. I mean, your worship. She said you might put us up for the night.
Out of the question. I must have a word with Lady Raines and with the servants. This is a private house, my good woman, not a hostel. Oh, there, Miss Mandanar. Behold this woman, far gone in her depravity. Look at the squalid garments she wears, the gimcrack baubles and gewgaws. Look at her yellow eye, the coarseness of her complexion, which no amount of powder or paint can ever disguise. Is this what you wish to become? The state of this disgusting old woman preaches the cause of clean living more eloquently than any sermon of mine. Turn from this life, I beg you.
I will, sir.
But where shall we go, sir?
There is a hostel to which I shall send you. The sooner the better. Come with me now. I shall put you in a cab. I'll give you a note for the warden there. I warn you, the discipline is strict and the entertainment frugal, but it will take you out of temptation's way until some decent employment may be found for you. There must be no reversion on your part to your old ways.
Oh, no, your worship. That's all behind us now.
Yes, I'm glad to hear it. Very glad indeed.
We duly accompanied the colonel from his house and followed at a respectful distance while he led us to the nearest thoroughfare and bundled us into a hansom.
Here's half a sovereign. Take these women to this address directly.
Right, your governor.
Now, Miss Mandanar, you too, old woman. I hope we shall not meet again.
No, so do we, Governor.
Well, that, my dear Bunny, might be referred to as a damn close-run thing.
I thought he was going to kill you, Raffles.
No doubt about it. VCs tend to shoot first and ask questions later. I say, old boy, you don't half look an ass in that hat.
I could say the same for you, AJ.
Well, yes, but I had to get dressed in rather a hurry. The beard, too, is the very devil to get off.
Yeah, I thought there was something different about you. The beard, it's gone.
It had to be sacrificed. The colonel was not the most observant of men. Well, the fact that we were adorned in his good lady's finery escaped him completely, thank the Lord. But I think even he would have drawn the line at a full set of whiskers.
Raffles?
Yes?
Why didn't you escape back out of the window when you heard our voices? Would have been the sensible thing, you know?
The very same reason, I imagine, why you didn't leg it out of the front door when the colonel came upstairs with his gun.
You sacrificed your beard for me, Raffles.
Don't give it another thought, old fellow. And now it's off. Do you know, I believe I never liked it in the first place.
So some good has come out of this business after all.
You say true, dear old friend, and my nocturnal escapade yielded some quite decent pickings, too. I'm happy to say that these baubles and gewgaws are not quite as gimcrack as the good colonel believed.
Oh, AJ.
I say, where's this joker taking us?
I don't know.
Here, cabby.
Yes, lady?
Where are we going?
Sir Tilda's hostel for the unfortunate lady.
No, we're not. We've changed our minds.
Didn't sound like my sort of place at all.
Oh! Where to, then, lady?
The Albany.
Very well. Here.
What is it, cabby?
They'll not let you in, you know. Not even decent women are allowed in there. Begging your pardon?
He's right, you know, Raffles. How are we going to get in?
Well, occasionally, my dear Bunny, one is forced to improvise. I dare say we shall find a way.
Drive on, cabby, to the Albany.
Right you are, lady.
To the Albany and fresh adventures.
In The Rest Cure by E.W. Hornung, dramatized for radio by David Buck, Jeremy Clyde was A.J. Raffles and Michael Cochran, Bunny Manders. Colonel Crutchley was played by Christopher Benjamin, the porter by Lawrence Payne, and the cabbie by Norman Bird. The Raffles theme music was composed by Jim Parker. Technical presentation was by Keith Perrin, and the production was by Gordon House.